Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
How you guys doing? Good. You guys ready for this storm? When they name it, I mean, that's a thing, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm just curious. How many ladies are offended that the storms are always named after women? I'm curious. It's weird, right? Everybody's so mad about everything, but no one's thinking about that one. I just gave you one more thing. You're welcome. What am I doing here? I'm trying to be organized. That's never going to work. Okay, so today we are talking about, I retitled this thing like four times. I didn't know what to call it, but I just ended up with "There's Always Something," because my wife and I were talking the other day, and something little came up, but it wasn't even a big deal, but I looked at her and I said, "There's always something, huh?" And that's the truth. There's always something, right? There's always something to deal with. There's always something to handle. There's always someone to talk down. There's always, right? Life doesn't just flow all the time. We can flow through it. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. But you don't wake up thinking that there's a figurative storm coming, right? You don't think, because we don't have a forecast for that. Right, we don't have a weather reporter, telling us, "Hey, there's going to be three storms this week that are coming your way," and I wish we did. So today, what I want to talk to you guys about is how to really get through anything. My other title was when you don't know what to do, right? When you don't know how to handle the circumstance, or another title was when you don't want to do what you know you should do, right? Because sometimes we know exactly what to do. And we're going to talk about that. So let's go ahead and pray. We have a lot to go through today. It's one of those days where I'm like, I know that I'm not going to get through everything that is here, but that's why we pray. We pray that God will organize this in a way to where we all hear what we need to hear. And sometimes, just so you guys know, sometimes it's about what God has been speaking to you throughout the week, throughout the month, maybe for years. And sometimes there's a skill to listening to what God is saying, right? I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. There's a skill to listen to what the Holy Spirit has been saying to you. And I hope that today that God just continues to confirm that. And he will if you listen. But sometimes there are things that you hear that aren't always even being spoken specifically. Does that make sense? I'm not telling you not to listen, but I am telling you to listen to God, because he's much more interesting. So let's go ahead and pray, and let's believe that God is going to do that. Father, we come to you today, Lord, the God of the universe, the God of the storms, the God of everything. Lord, we come to you in this place, and we acknowledge you. We acknowledge how heavy and how big and how mighty you are today. We equally acknowledge how much you love us. We acknowledge the fact that you are our Heavenly Father and that you care about us more than we can even imagine. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would be here today and you'd speak to us through your Spirit. I pray, God, that you'd show us what you want to show us for the first time or for the last time, God. I pray, Lord, that we would hear you, that we would understand you, and that we would make moves to obey you. Lord, we need you, God, more today than ever. And I just pray, Lord, that we would have a humble heart today and an attitude of wanting what you have for us, God, more than anything else, because you know what is good. And so I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so I'm excited about this message. It's going to be fun. We're going to go through a lot. And I have a lot of verses, a lot of scripture today. And so I encourage you to take notes. Go back, read this yourself, pray through this yourself. This is only, you know, we only have 30 minutes or whatever today. We're also going to do communion at the end, but it's a short time. I would encourage you to go back and take notes on this yourself and read through and pray through this yourself. So today's message is broken up into three different things or mindsets that we would have when we don't know what to do. I'm just going to give them to you up front, and then we'll go through them, okay? First of all, God would have us think, okay? He would have us use our brains. He gave us a brain for a reason, and he would have us think, all right? The second thing is he would have us pray, right? Which is the goal, which is we should be doing this every day. But I'm not talking about just praying for the day and praying for protection and praying for blessings. I'm talking about praying through something specific, right? And then the third thing is rely. And so we're going to go through all three of these things. I know that I'm going to get stuck on one and not have enough time to go through the others, but it's just, it is what it is. All right. We have a certain amount of time, and it's kind of like I have the ball and I'm going to hand it to you at some point, and you go, you run with it. Okay. Sound good? All right. So the first thing is think. God gave us a brain for a reason. He gave us the ability to think through things. And for some of us, you know, we think too much, right? And that can happen. We can overthink. We can be somebody who sits there and gets stuck, and we think, okay, well, here's 15 different ways I could handle this, and they all have their pros and cons, and it can be too much. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't think, right? It doesn't mean that we shouldn't sit and consider things. And let me build this case for you this morning. And I believe that you always want to pray, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I also believe that we should think, okay, and use our brains. So the first part of thinking is when you already know what to do. Look at 1 Chronicles 17, 1 through 2. Now, the context here is that King David was wanting to build a temple for the worship of God, okay? He wanted to build a house for God. Because King David, he lived in a nice house, right? He was king. He lived in, you know, what would be equivalent to a castle, lived in a really nice place. But he thought, where does God live, right? And so he had it in his heart to build God a house. Now, in 1 Chronicles 17, 1, it says, "Now when David lived in his house, David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Behold, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the Ark of the Covenant,'" which represented God's presence, right? "'of the Lord is under a tent.' And Nathan said to David, 'Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you.'" So David had a choice to do something for God. It goes on in that scripture, and God basically makes it clear to David that he doesn't have to have a house, that he's God. He doesn't have to be contained, right? Just like here today, like God, I believe God is here today, right? I believe when we're gathered, there's something special that happens. When we worship together, when we look at the scripture together, there's something very, very, very special that happens with us as the church, right? But God isn't stuck at 2300 East Brundage Lane. He ain't stuck here. When we leave, we don't leave him here, right? Some of us forget. We think we did. We think we're leaving him right here in the seats, but we're not. He's going with us out to the parking lot. He's going with us out to the freeway. He's going with us to that point where the person cuts you off, looks at you, gives you the bird. God is still with you. Right? And he's going to be with you tomorrow when you wake up and you're like, it's Monday, right? He's going to be with you midweek when you're thinking, when is this week going to end? He's going to be with you when you have financial distress. He's going to be with you when you don't know what to say to your kids. He's going to be with you when you're listening to that thing on the radio that scares the heck out of you, right? He's going to be with you because he's not stuck. That was beside the point. Anyway, the point is that sometimes it's our choice, right? We choose what to do. And sometimes we already know what to do. And I'm going to explain more of that later. But look at James 4, 13 through 17. Okay? It says, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit.' For you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You have no idea. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live, and we will do this or that,' if the Lord wills, right? As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. See, many times when we don't know what to do, we really do know what to do. We really do know what to do. And it's a matter of obedience versus disobedience, right? And it's easier sometimes to say, I don't know what to do. But sometimes we lack honesty, right? Look at Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 16. So see, I have set before you today, this is God speaking to the children of Israel, I've set before you today life and good, okay? So life and good, and then also death and evil, right? So you have life and good, and then you have death and evil. Which one would you choose, right? You don't choose death and evil, but by default, if you don't choose the life and good, sometimes you're pulled toward that, right? You're pulled down. So God set this choice before the people. He says, if you obey the commandments of your Lord God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. It's that simple. If you obey, you'll live and multiply, and the Lord God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. So God blesses us when we obey him, right? Now, in the Old Testament, they had to follow the rules. They had to follow the Ten Commandments and the 613 odd commandments that come after that. They had to obey all those rules, right? Follow all those rules. But for us, it's following the Holy Spirit, following the convictions of our heart, right? Following that feeling in your gut that you know. You just know. And if you are a new Christian, if you're brand new, you just became a Christian, it might be harder to know what's right and what's wrong sometimes. But for those of us who've been here, who do know, who have no excuse, what are we doing, right? We know when God wants us to move, and we know when God wants us to not move, right? The last part of thinking is when we know what the book says. You see, for those of us, again, who've been doing this for a while, and we've studied this for a while, there's a lot of practical advice in here, a lot of practical wisdom. For example, Romans 12, 16 through 18. This is just a small part. This is one of the epistles, one of the letters that Paul actually wrote to the church in Rome. And he's just giving them advice. He's saying, live in harmony with one another, okay? Live in harmony with one another. Right there, just think about that for a second. You don't know what to do. Should I call that person and tell them off right now, or should I let it go? Now, there are times where you have to stand up for yourself, and there might be a kind way to tell the person what they need to know, and I get that, I understand that, but just to blow off some steam, it says right there, live in harmony with one another, right? Especially if they're a believer, like if it's your brother, your sister, right? Somebody that you know is also a believer, and you don't see eye to eye, right? Sometimes, people that I know, we get into it, and they're part of the church, and they're an important part of the church. We get into it, but then we figure it out. We figure out how to get, our goal is to get back into harmony, right? We get out, but then our goal is to get back in. It's simple, right? Don't be haughty, which means arrogant, right? Don't be that, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. See, there's so much practical wisdom just in these two scriptures right here, and there's a lot of that. Especially in the New Testament, the epistles, Jesus, his words, it's all throughout it, right? So we know what it says. So sometimes you just have to use your head. So that's the first part, is just thinking things through. Second, and I think it's important to think before we pray also. Just, I don't know why, I just think it is. I do know why. Because we want to know what to pray about, right? It's important that our prayers are specific. And let me tell you why it's important. When we pray and it's very vague, how are we going to know that God answers those prayers? God, I pray that you would protect me today and bless me today. That's not a bad thing to pray. But how are you going to know when God answers that prayer, right? Is he protecting you? Is he blessing you? Probably, but how do you know? That's why it's important also, I think, to journal your prayers sometimes, or like at least write down what you're praying, because then you're going to be able to see God move. And we're going to talk about that later on at the end here. when we talk about waiting for God and what that means. But so the second thing is pray. So originally I was going to do an entire sermon on what to do when we don't feel like praying. Like how do we get our minds to that place? But it wasn't going to be an entire message. So I kind of built more, God just kind of, it worked out, right? But the first part of praying is when you don't want to. So that's what I want to talk to you real quick. And this is the scripture that popped in my mind earlier this week and kind of got this whole message going. But Judges chapter 6, look at Judges chapter 6. We have a guy named Gideon. And Gideon was an average Joe, right? He was a guy who's minding his own business. And God called him to lead an army of 300 to take on the Midianites who were oppressing Israel, who were there and they were harassing the people, right? They were enemies in the land. And so in verse 12 and 13, it says this: an angel of the Lord, which is a messenger of God. Okay, so basically we can say this is God sending a message to Gideon, right? An angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, he turns and says to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?" How many of you guys have heard this argument before? Right? I mean, really, like you somebody says, God's with you. But then you're looking at your circumstances, and then you're looking at what this person's saying, and you're looking at your circumstances, and you're like, "Oh, you don't even know. Don't tell me God's with me. If God's with me, why are all these bad things happening?" But we have to give a disclaimer here, right? When you get saved, all of your problems go away. Oh, wait, that's not how it goes. Sorry, my bad. When you get saved, all of those problems become the way that God sanctifies us and makes us holy because he teaches us how to rely on him, right? And it's not that they get bigger. I think that they're just magnified. Because you realize that there's a purpose behind it, and it's like, oh gosh, it's like working out, right? It's like, I don't want to work out in the mornings, right? I don't want to do this. I don't want to eat right. I don't want to do all these things. But there's a purpose to it, a bigger purpose, and there's a weight to that, right? Everyone's got problems. We just have purposeful problems, right? And it's good. So Gideon has a bad attitude, and he goes along. And eventually, he leads 300 people to take on the Midianites and win. And it's a beautiful story of victory for the people. But at first, he's very doubtful. And so I think that, for me, that I that gives me hope. Because I know my attitude sometimes. Sometimes I'm doubtful. Sometimes I don't have the best attitude in the world. But deep down, I, just like Gideon, just like you, we know that God's going to come through. Because when you look at the history of it, when has God really let you down, right? When has he really, truly let you down? He's with us. He really is. And I believe that so much more today than I ever have. After I've gone through a ton of stuff, right? It's like before when you're first saved or you're really young and you haven't really gone through a lot of stuff in life, it's like, yeah, I believe it in theory, right? I believe it. I believe the idea of it. But then when you go through a lot of stuff, and the dust settles, and then God is still there. You're like, okay, all right. This is real. It's real. Pray even when you have doubts. Look at Hebrews 4:14 through 16. "Since then we have a great high priest," and this is Jesus, right, "who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That word confidence means like boldness or frankness or just walking straight into the room. Like my girls, they have zero issue just walking straight into our room, right? Hey, mom, hey, dad, I need this, I need that, because they know that we've got them, right? They know that we're going to give them what they need, right? They know that we're going to take care of them. And so they have boldness when they come to us. And just like that, we should be like kids, man, just coming straight into the room saying, God, I need you. Come on. I need you. Believing that he's going to take care of us and believing that he understands your pain. He understands your pain. Let me say it again. He understands your pain. And that is what separates our God from any other fake God, right? Look at Matthew 7:7 through 11. It says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone, okay? Everyone who asks receives. That's a mind blow. Jesus said these words, okay? And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, this scripture, I think, gets confusing because I think sometimes we think that it's about specifics. Like, I ask God for this specific piece of bread, or I ask God for this specific thing, and he didn't give me this specific thing. But that's not really what the scripture is about. The scripture is about God giving you good things versus bad things, right? Giving you what you need, not always what you want. Does that make sense? And I think that when we look at it with that perspective, it all starts to clear up. And you go, okay, well, I did pray for that one thing, and God never gave it to me. So honestly, that must not have been the best thing for me, because he's a good father. And a good father gives you something good, right? I don't even know if I should bring this up, but it was so jaw-dropping. Earlier this week, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's like, yeah, he's like, someone just sent me some crap the other day. And I was like, really? I was like, you know, what? Like, what was it? He was like, it was crap. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, no, somebody like literally sent me a piece of poop. It was in a package, sent it to my door, and I opened it up, and it was poop. Apparently, there's a website. There are a couple of websites where if there's somebody you don't like, you can just send them poop. Now, I'm not trying to give you guys any ideas today, okay? I'm not trying to, like, I'm sorry if some of you guys wrote that down. Like, you haven't written anything down. You're like, what's the website? What is it again? You can send someone poop. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Well, God doesn't do that. That's the point. Anyway, that's evil, right? 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have. There's that word again, confidence, right? Boldness, frankness, busting into the room, that kind of confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Anything according to his will, right? And that's a pretty big pasture, his will. I think sometimes we think it's like a specific thing that we're going to miss, but it's a pretty big pasture. There's a lot in there. There's a lot of leeway in his will, right? And so if we ask him for something that's in that pasture, he's going to give it to us. If it's outside the pasture, it's not good for us, right? But if it's within that pasture, he's going to give it to us. He says, we know that he hears us. We know that he hears us in whatever we ask, and we know that we have the requests that we've asked of him, right? It's simple, but it is something that we forget. It's funny, I study the Bible a lot, right? I've done it for decades, and I forget. I forget. So it's a good reminder. So the last part is relying, and we're going to get into some communion and kind of shift gears a little bit. But this last part, when you have done the thinking, when you have done the praying, sometimes God will make you rely. He's going to teach you how to rely. And this is when God holds off on giving you even what you need for the moment. Because he doesn't want to spoil us. See, my kids, they might bust through the door, and they might ask us for ice cream. And sometimes that's going to be okay, right? That's going to be, yes, you can have some ice cream because you haven't had a lot lately. We're going to give you some ice cream, right? And I think they even need it. I think they need that dopamine, right? That kick. That's awesome. It's great. But not all the time. If they've had ice cream all day and cake and donuts and all these things, I'm not going to give them ice cream, right? I'm going to say maybe ice cream later in the week. Some of you guys, you want your ice cream and you want it now, right? You want it now. Let's be honest. You don't want the carrots, right? You don't want the leaves, the green leaves. You don't want the whatever is healthy. I don't even know. I should know. My dad's talking about it all the time, but I've blocked him out. You just want the ice cream. And sometimes it's okay. But not always. Because God doesn't want us to be spoiled. And God doesn't want us to be unhealthy. Right? He gives us good things. Look at Psalm 27:14. It says, wait for the Lord. Okay? Wait for the Lord. And that word wait for, the Hebrew word, means hopeful, expectant, waiting. It's like when Elijah, he was praying for rain. He's up on the top of Mount Carmel, and he's praying for rain. And it says that he has his head between his knees. He has his head between his knees. He's down on the ground, and he sends his servant to go look. Now, here's what's interesting. I've been to Mount Carmel. I've been to the top. You can see vistas and valleys. You can see forever. He chose not to, and right now there's a church on top of that hill, but there wasn't a church before. It was just a mountain, and he chose not to get off of his face. He chose to keep praying. And he sent his servant. He didn't even look himself. He sent his servant. Go look. I'm going to keep praying. 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 Now, that's seven times. Is that seven? Was that seven? Because that's how many times he did it. Seems redundant, right? It seems like it's too much, right? It seems like it's kind of annoying to have to do things over and over and over. But God was doing something in Elijah. As he prayed and as he waited, he was doing something in his heart. But Elijah never gave up. He waited. Go back to Psalm 27. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Right? Let your heart take courage. There's something that happens when we wait expectantly on God. Our heart strengthens, and we're able to take courage. Look at James 1:12. We read this a lot, but it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Steadfast is just sticking. I did a sermon a long time ago. Lauren, you remember this. I know you do. I coined a term, stick with itness, and I said, this is what we got to do. We have to use stick with itness. You have to just, whatever you do, stay with it. Stay with it. Don't give up. That's what that word steadfast means, right? Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Trial is something that is probably not easy. Think about somebody who's been who's on trial. Okay, somebody who's been on trial. My brain's all right. Somebody who's on trial. That's a stressful thing. That's a very stressful time. It's not easy to stand before a judge, to stand before a jury of your peers, to be on in the spotlight. But it says, blessed, go back to the scripture real quick in James. Blessed is the man who stays, who stands, knowing that he has the best lawyer in the world. And the judge is also on his side, right? And the jury will eventually come to see it too, right? Like, God is going to take care of you. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him, right? God's going to come through. He's going to come through. So another part of reliance, and I was thinking about this, we're doing communion today. But Another part of reliance is relying on each other. Now I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to hand it over after that to the campus, to Tehachapi and to Northwest, and I think we have a couple other smaller groups out there. I forget, and I'm sorry. It's early. My bad. But 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 32 says this. This is about communion. Now, the word communion and the word community, right, they kind of, there's a similarity there. And we do communion when we come together as a family, as a church. Over and over in this scripture, Paul refers to the people coming together as a church to do this. So in verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance.'" Okay? Say that with me real quick. Remembrance. Do this in remembrance of what he did for us, right? And then it says, "In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord." Now, this is scary, but I'm going to explain this to you real quick. It says, "Let a person examine himself." Now, that part right there, examine yourself. "Let a person examine himself, then and so eat of the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body," your own body, "eats and drinks judgment on himself." Okay? And it's also could be the body of Christ. "That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." So when we do communion, there's the reason and the purpose is twofold, right? It's to remember what he did for us, that he died, that he shed his blood for us, so that we could be washed clean of sin. Like, we are all free. If we have given our lives over to Jesus, right, we've made him Lord and Savior, said, "Lord, I believe in you. I believe the cross happened. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. You are my Lord and Savior." Then we are washed clean. We're washed clean, right? And that means that we can come to God whenever. But there's a responsibility there. And the responsibility is where the examination part comes in. And that's when we ask ourselves, am I with God right now? Am I living my life in a way to where I am turning towards him? Or am I living in my life in a way to where I am ignoring or I am forgetting who he is? And it's a gut check for us. And it's good to do this because of that gut check. And so when we take communion, we're going to go ahead and kill the feed and we're going to move on. So at your campus, at home, if you're doing this at home, go ahead and pray and take communion together with those two things in mind, okay? So let's go ahead and do that now. So now it's just us in this building. We're going to take communion together. But I'm gonna have them play a song. And that's going to put us like 5 minutes over. But as the song plays, you guys can come up and get communion and then go back and take it yourself. But let's do this, okay? I was feeling this before. I was like, let's make sure that this is a sanctuary today. Let's try not to be loud. Let's try not to laugh. Let's try not to joke. Let's try not to have like long conversations on the way out in the sanctuary today so people can have their time. Does that make sense? And then as we leave, we can talk out in the rain, out in the storm. That'd be great, right? But let's go ahead and pray this. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. And we thank you for what you did. Lord, you, God, you sent your son to this earth to live a perfect life, to sacrifice himself, and to take on all of our sins to the point where you had to turn your back on him. And that pain is so great that I can't understand it, Lord. I never will. But you did that for us. And Jesus, we thank you for sending yourself, for walking, for being obedient to the point of death and a painful death at that, and taking all of our sins upon us. There are no words. I pray that you'd be with us now. We love you, Lord. Bring healing to this place.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.